and welcome to How to Cope with the Dope. My name is Jackie Freitas, and I am your host as well as a certified life and health coach. You have found your way to a relevant and relatable podcast if you have a loved one who struggles with addiction. Each week, I share either an interview of hope or information that may help broaden your understanding and ability to manage your life in a healthy way. Ultimately, this podcast is designed to sow seeds of hope and inspiration in a world of worry. Today, we are going to talk about killing ants. Okay, now hang on, because this podcast is not about pests, but more about pesty thoughts. Often, when we are navigating life with a loved one who has addiction, our thinking can become overwrought with negative thoughts. That what if thinking and those scary dark thoughts can overwhelm us, and we begin to ruminate over what might happen. In my life, I have often felt this way, and at times my entire day could and would be ruined and consumed with thinking these negative thoughts. This is where the term ants comes in. Dr. Daniel Amen, he has a clinic called the Amen Clinic, and he studies the mind and the brain, and he has a book called Change Your Brain, Change Your Life, and he coined this term ants back in the early 1990s. So he was working, with a patient who had repetitive negative thoughts throughout the day. After work, one day, Dr. Amen went home and he had a ton of ants crawling around in his kitchen. As Dr. Amen started cleaning up the thousands of ants in his kitchen, the acronym came to him. He said, "I thought of my patients from that day, like my infested kitchen. My patients' brains were also infested by the negative thoughts that were robbing them of their joy and stealing their happiness. And there was born automatic negative thoughts." I think this is kind of clever and kind of a good way of looking at things in more of a fun and light way. But our thoughts really do have such a profound effect on the trajectory of our day. More and more, I'm hearing this concept. I hear it in so many aspects of my life. I've heard it from sermons, and I've heard it from medical research, and I've even heard it from places like law of attraction. So when we think negative things, chemicals are literally released into our body. And Dr. Amen says, every time you have a mad thought, an unkind thought, a sad thought, or a cranky thought, your brain releases negative chemicals that activate your limbic system and make your mind and body feel bad. End quote. If you reflect on your life, I am sure you can attest to the fact that dark thoughts create momentum to a dark mood. Now, the same holds true for good, happy, kind, and hopeful thoughts. When you have these thoughts, your brain releases chemicals that make you feel good. Now, reflect on a time you did something nice for another person or just had happy thoughts about something, and think of how you felt. Literally, our body reacts to every thought we have. Hand temperature, heart rate, blood pressure, breathing rate, muscle tension, all react. You know, maybe our hands will start sweating. And these are reasons why a lie detector test actually does work. Thoughts are so powerful. Dr. Amen says they can make your mind and body feel good or bad. Every cell is affected by every thought you have. That is why when people get emotionally upset, they often develop physical symptoms such as headaches or stomach aches. If you can think about good things, you will feel better. Dr. Amen also gives the example of Abraham Lincoln, saying that he had bouts of depression and feelings of suicide and days when he wouldn't get out of bed, but he learned to treat those bad feelings with laughter. He learned that when he left, he felt better. So our thoughts are often not factual, yet we actually treat them like they are facts. We believe them no matter what. It is important to understand what is fact and what is just a thought. You do have the power. It is completely up to you whether you want to think about the negative, gunky stuff or the good and positive stuff. It is important to know that these thoughts can pop up randomly out of nowhere and left unchecked will infest your mind. So Dr. Amen talks about 9 ways that thoughts lie to us. And I'm going to talk about these 9 ways, but I'm also going to give examples relative to how we might react when our loved one who struggles with addiction, how we these ways may play out in our life. And, you know, obviously, after you listen to this, you can think about the ways that they plug into your life with the addict, but maybe you're doing this in many, many areas of your life. So the first thing is all or nothing thinking, which is also known as black or white thinking. And I think this is kind of self-explanatory. You know, you might have the habit of just having no latitude for anything. It's just one way or the other way. There's no gray in between. And once you get locked onto that idea, you can't see the other side. Dr. Amen gives an example of a baseball player striking out. The one way of thinking may be, I'm such a loser, I struck out. But the other more positive way of thinking would be, well, you got to strike out a bunch of times before you get a home run. So in the case of the addict, some of the thoughts you may have are that they are ruining their life completely and are a hopeless mess, rather than saying they are going through challenging times and I have faith that they will get through and grow from this challenge. The second way is called always thinking. Now, this happens when you think something what happened will always repeat itself. This may also come in thinking patterns that use the words always, never, no one, everyone, every time, or everything. That is how you might know that you're falling prey to this kind of thinking trap if you use those words a lot. As related to the addict, you may say they will never seek any help or they are too far gone, which is such a negative thought, and it will surely trigger a negative feeling within you. Or you may say something like, they never listen to me, or they always take advantage of me. So there are certain things he calls red ants, which are kind of a more dangerous, when he says a red ant, he's talking, you know, more of a more dangerous thought pattern here. And number 3 is something he calls a red ant, and that is focusing on the negative. So in this case, you only focus on the bad and ignore any of the good. So for example, you may focus all your energy on the addict, feeling depressed and sad about that situation, instead of focusing on other people in your life who bring you happiness and joy. Maybe some other people that are doing positive things that really make you smile. Or just focusing on the good stuff, the good parts of someone who has the disease of alcoholism or drug addiction. You know, just because they have this disease or this problem doesn't mean it defines who they are in every aspect of their life. So we can choose to focus on their good aspects. Another red ant, which is number 4 on our list, is fortune telling. In fortune telling, you predict the worst possible outcome to a situation. So for example, you may say that the person in your life is going to overdose and die, and you just focus on this thought pattern constantly. However, you could change this and say that they are learning from this experience, and I'm envisioning them in recovery soon. Or you can think of someone who has recovered and is doing really well and how they came through this journey. You can also focus on yourself, which is what Al-Anon and other programs foster. So you may say, I am learning so much about myself and about my loved one's disease. Or I am growing and taking back my happiness. Number five is another red ant thinking pattern, and this is mind reading. So this happens when you believe that you know what another person is thinking when they haven't even told you. This is a major reason why people have trouble in relationships, says Dr. Amen. This can sound like, those people are mad at me, or they don't like me, or they are talking about me. With the addict, this may look like he or she doesn't care or love me anymore. You see, often when addicts are in the throes of their disease, they are so hyper-focused on the drug of choice that they're pretty much ignoring everything else. You know, that becomes paramount in their life. That becomes their number one, really kind of love. So it might seem like they no longer care about you, but that's really just the disease. And that thinking is not true. Okay, number six is thinking with your feelings. So this happens when you believe your negative feelings without ever questioning them. Thinking with your feelings often starts with the words, I feel. So with the addicts, it could be, I feel like something bad is going to happen. So whenever you have this type of feeling, explore and look for the evidence to support the feeling. Or are the feelings based on insecurities or things from the past? Okay, number seven is guilt beatings. Guilt is typically not a helpful emotion and may even cause you to do things you don't want to do. You may know you're going into the land of guilt when you are thinking with words like should, must, ought, or have to. Relative to the addicts, you may say something like, I have to let them live with me, or I should help them and pay for thus and such. Or I ought to let them use the car. Sometimes we're doing these things and we're not really thinking it through. We're not making the choice based on what we want. And we're kind of shooting all over ourselves and guilt tripping ourselves and saying, oh, but that would be the right thing for a good wife to do or a good parent to do. You know, it's what we should do if we love someone, but really you're not serving yourself. It's a better choice to replace guilt beatings with phrases like, I want to do this, or it fits my goals to do that, or I am happy to do that. It may further look like, I am happy to give them a ride to work on Wednesdays when I'm heading in that direction anyway, or I have to stay committed to my retirement goals and only spend X number of dollars to help my loved one. So these are just kind of things that you think about and you create what works for you, as opposed to feeling all this guilt and submitting to that. You kind of prepare yourself and say, okay, what can I do to help them? And what do I want to do? What can I afford to do? And you get a little bit more logical. Okay, number eight is labeling. When you label, you attach a label to yourself or to someone else, and you inhibit your ability to take a clear look at the situation. So some examples of labels are, oh, they're a bunch of spoiled brats, or boy, that person is a real idiot, or any other label that is condescending or not uplifting. Now, relative to the attic, you may very well have used some of the superlatives I just mentioned, or there's a bunch of others that you might be using. This labeling lumps another person into a group, which can make it difficult to deal with them in a rational and fair way. So if you're just going to lump somebody into, well, I think they're just acting like an idiot and they're an idiot, you're just putting them into a group in almost kind of like, it's like you put them in a crate and you close the door and you don't have the ability to see the whole person anymore. Okay, number nine. Now, number nine, Dr. Amen says is the most poisonous red ant of all. And this is blaming. Blaming others for the problems in your life. In your head, this may sound like, it wasn't my fault that, or that wouldn't have happened if you had, or how was I supposed to know that? Another one is, it's your fault that. So when I think of this, I think kind of this whole kind of blame game started in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. And we have just continued this whole blame cycle. If we are being honest here, we will all be able to relate to this automatic negative thought. I know I surely can. With the attic, we may blame them for so much. We may blame them for the state of our life or for the problems in our family. We might blame them for financial problems we have or for how our health is failing or for the problems of other people in the family. I mean, the list goes on and on what we might spin the dial and blame the addict for. Let's face it, the addict can be a fairly easy target, and we can blame them for much if we are not careful. Dr. Amen says, whenever you blame someone else for the problems in your life, you become powerless to change anything. So, with all of these nine ways, maybe you can relate to this. Maybe you say, oh my gosh, I can see where I do some of these things. So now that we know the nine types of ants that can invade our mind, let's reinforce what we can do to stop the invasion. So we are going to try to train ourselves to recognize any time that we have a negative thought entering our mind. And then we're going to write it down, and then we are going to talk back to it. When you do this, you begin to take away the power of that particular thought and gain control over your moods. So I am going to attach a worksheet on this whole topic down in the show notes. And I would encourage you to print it out and maybe start writing down your thoughts. See if this works for you. You know, that's what this podcast is all about, is just trying to help you one thought at a time to feel better and to be living your best life. Okay, the last thing that I'm going to share with you is a quote that started chapter 7 of Change Your Brain, Change Your Life, and I really liked it. And it is Philippians 4:8. Which says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. I really like that because I have found that all the answers I need are in one book. And sometimes I just need to remind myself to open up that book. All right. Well, I hope that you have an amazing day. And thank you so much for listening. God bless you. Bye-bye.